2 weeks ago, the New York Times ran a crossword puzzle with a James Bond theme. The puzzle was written by Lonnie Burton, a Washington State inmate. A lot of Times readers were outraged because of the reason Lonnie Burton is in prison. 26 years ago, Burton raped a 15-year-old boy in Federal Way. When the New York Times puzzle editor explained why he chose to run Burton's crossword, he said, "I'm a strong believer in redemption and the capacity of people to change." So who deserves redemption after committing a violent crime, and who doesn't? A good person to ask is Bremerton's police chief, Stephen Strand. As a member of the Washington State Clemency Board, he decides who is redeemed in the eyes of the law. Stephen, thanks for exploring this question with me.
You bet. Happy to be here.
What was your first reaction to the story of this crossword puzzle?
You know, it's interesting, like so many things. Sort of a small story leads to so many other things and so many other questions. And, you know, my wife and I, we take the New York Times. We do the crossword. We love to do the crossword. And to be honest, instinctively, the first thing I thought was good for him. He's trying to do something constructive and positive on a 46-year sentence while he's in prison. And instinctively, at least, I wanted to give somebody credit. I looked at it a little bit idealistically, but it points to a giant issue, and it's one that in my 30 years in law enforcement and a couple of years on the clemency board is something that I think is not getting enough attention.
What's that?
Basically, the sort of siloed or fragmented approach we take toward reentry and what we're expecting of people who have been convicted of crimes. I'm willing to bet a lot of your listeners saw that story and thought, you know, I wouldn't have done that crossword puzzle, or that makes me angry. We shouldn't validate that person in any way. But a lot of those same listeners probably strongly support the Ban the Box initiative.
And it's Ban the Box means don't deny someone a job, because don't ask about their previous criminal history.
And Ban the Box, which Seattle City Council passed unanimously, has strong support, is really based on the idea of we have to give people an opportunity at reentry. We have to give individuals with a criminal background the opportunity to reenter our society in a constructive and positive way. And that's a good notion. But when you see it in specific cases, it causes people to react very strongly. And I think this issue in relation to the crossword puzzle was one that really points to how complex and difficult this issue is.
So for you, long career in law enforcement, State Clemency Board, you have seen those. I mean, I can't imagine the terrible things you've seen in your career. How do you view somebody who has committed a violent crime or hurt somebody?
You know, I think some of your listeners may expect that a 30-year police officer who comes from the perspective that I do would be sort of hard-bitten about these things. And I wouldn't say the opposite is true, but I'd say it's much more nuanced. Police officers have seen up close the effects of violent crime. You know, I've seen people who have been shot and killed. I've seen people who have been violently beaten, people who have been sexually assaulted. Those are phrases to most of us, but that's something we see in a very real way in law enforcement. And yet, having seen that, I still recognize that the people who do it are still going to be with us, and there's still going to be people that we have to deal with. When you talk about a suspect and somebody being incarcerated or sent to prison, that's a name in the paper to most people. That's a picture in the paper to most people. We see all of that up close, and we see the way that human beings become involved in these things. And so if you talk to a typical police officer, you're going to find a much more complex and nuanced perspective on the ability of people to redeem themselves, to reenter society. And going back to your original question, I think we as a society are very fragmented. Employers, government, corrections, the legal system. There is no overarching system for how people can begin to have a constructive life once they've been convicted of a crime.
Are there human beings you find unredeemable?
Yeah, I do. You know, we've had several cases before the board, and I've certainly seen people in my career. You know, I've managed jails in my career, and people that I can honestly say I just don't see any redeeming value. There's the easy ones, you know, the Green River Killer and those kind of individuals, but we've had people come before the board that have done things that were simply so significant. We had one recently, a woman who was at the prison in Purdy, and she had, along with her, I think, boyfriend at the time, you know, murdered someone in cold blood about 10 years ago. And she'd done some good things in prison. You know, she'd tried to really do some good things since that time. But committing a cold-blooded murder 10 years ago is simply too much. And our message was, it's great what you're doing. Come and see us again later. But this is far too severe.
Back to the crossword puzzle. Now, the New York Times included a note written by that inmate, Lonnie Burton, along with the puzzle, where he said, I am in prison in Washington State and have been for 26 years. I did some pretty bad things in my youth, but now I'm dedicated to changing my life, seeking redemption and forgiveness, and making amends for my actions. How do you react to his statement?
As I said, I want to give him credit for doing something productive. I always want to ask the question, what is it we're expecting of people that are being sent to prison?
Right. That's a good question.
If we're expecting them to stew in their juices and be angry and become more dysfunctional, then we shouldn't be surprised when they are a problem when they get out. At the same time, I'm hearing a little bit of there's some excuses there. I did some pretty bad things when I was younger. He did some really, really bad things. I mean, he raped a 15-year-old. That is a horrendous crime. And I think that's what people are reacting to so strongly, and they should.
But when you're sitting doing a crossword puzzle, do you need to know whether the person raped someone or embezzled or committed a war crime? Or, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of terrible things we can do.
And I think that speaks to the fact that we have this fragmented approach to the idea of reentry and whether people can reenter society, and if so, in what way. As you know, there's a very, very large prison population in this country, and with the highest level of incarceration, I believe, in the world. So this is a huge issue, and a lot of employers can't find good people. How do we begin to connect those two things? How do people enter society again? It's a dry subject, but this crossword puzzle issue sort of points to how do we start to view this, and specifically, what crimes are so bad that we're not willing to talk to you anymore about this. And I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to talk to you. You are a non-person to me. That's really what this is about. And in my opinion, I would have preferred if the New York Times would have put the offense in there. I think that readers have a right to know that and to make a decision based upon it.
And I wonder whether the person who was raped should have any say in whether this crossword puzzle is published.
And, you know, I'll go back to my work on the Clemency and Pardons Board. We do ask both the prosecutor and the victim, if we can locate the victim, what their perspective is. And I would tell you that the input from the victims has probably the greatest weight in terms of our decisions than anything else. And we've had victims of serious crimes come to the meeting themselves and say, I forgive this person. And I can't tell you how powerful it is to have somebody look you in the eye and say, I forgive this person for what they did. And of course, we have others who come and say, this person should never be released. What they did can never be forgiven, and everything in between. And so the answer is, I think it is a huge factor. It should be a huge factor. And in this case, again, if the victim of this had been able to communicate with the crossword puzzle editor or the editor of the Times and say, you know, let me tell you what this person did and why this person should never be published, I think that should factor in. I think all those things should factor in.
Would you have done this crossword puzzle if you'd known what the writer had done?
I think I would, and the reason I say that is because, you know, again, having worked on the board, having been a police officer for 30 years, I've seen a lot of different cases and a lot of different people do a lot of different things. This person has a 46-year sentence. They are trying to do something constructive and positive while they're incarcerated. I think that that should generally be reinforced and affirmed.
Well, in your professional experience, do you think that Lonnie Burton, this inmate's ability to have a crossword puzzle published in the New York Times, helps him in any way on his path to a redemption that some of us might want for him?
That's a great question. And if you think about, you know, the end of that old TV show, Dragnet, you know, they would show the offender staring back in the camera, and they would talk about how many years they were sentenced to prison. Or at the end of Law and Order, they talk about what the result was.
Yeah, typed out, you know.
And then the show
years.
Ends.
Yeah, and it's
and
over.
It's over. And, of course, it isn't over. Then what? And the person goes to prison. But we don't have a very good system or expectation about that giant group of people that are incarcerated and what we're expecting them to do while they're there, how they're going to get back into society when they get out. And then how we treat them when they do get out. It's really complex, and it causes people to be very angry when they see something like this in the New York Times. And I think the response from readers showed that visceral reaction that people have depending on the type of crime that was committed.
Yeah. Unanswerable question, I suppose.
Well,
except it kind of is your job to think about these kinds of things on the clemency board.
That's exactly right. You're talking about people's lives. I mean, these are human beings' lives. It also affects people who were victims of horrible crimes. I mean, this is very important. I mean, this is some of the most important things that we do in our society. Police officers do an important job. Prisons fulfill an important role. They affect people's lives in profound ways, both those who are incarcerated and the victims of the crimes they commit. And yet, when you get down to it, it's about dealing with, you know, it's just, I always say about police officers, we're human beings trying to solve problems with other human beings who have all the same foibles. There is no bright line. There is no easy answer. We are doing the best we can. And I think it's good to talk about it because we should be talking about how do people get out of prison and succeed. Right now, we're not doing a very good job. High recidivism rate, you know, crime rates of people that are released are very high, drug abuse, mental illness, all the things that go with it. It's difficult. It's complicated, but we should talk more about it.
Steve Strand, Chief of Police in Bremerton now, also a member of the State Clemency Board. Thanks for talking through crossword puzzles and crime and redemption. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.